Welcome, everybody, to the Dad Survival Guide podcast. I'm Joe Sanfilippo.
I'm Raymond Pratt.
We hope you guys are enjoying your 9,000th day of quarantining. Today, we're going to talk about just some general questions about how your house is going. How's everything working at your place? How are your kids getting any one-on-one time? How are they doing in school? Because the word is out that their grades kind of don't count, so do they care? Yeah. We're also going to talk about how we're going to slowly reopen the economy and what happens when your shit is turned upside down. Some of us have lost their jobs. Some of us have had their jobs cut back. And we're also going to get into some unexpected positives, some things that might be going on in your relationship or your family dynamic that's better than it was before. And we're going to talk about the top five TV series that you ought to be checking out in our humble opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, finish on a high note.
Why not? That'll be fun. So let's get into it. How's your household, Mr. Pratt?
The household is actually it's holding together well. I don't know where this has happened or where it's come from, but my kids have now discovered exercise and hikes and walks and bike rides, which we'd done moderately before. But my eldest son, I bought him a Fitbit, I'd say about a year ago for his birthday, and he just didn't really stick. And so he sees his mom and I work out all the time and exercise. And so he pulled it out, got it charged, synced it to his thing. And he's just been going batshit crazy over it. And my youngest son is now into it. So these last couple of days, they've just ran me into the ground with walks and hikes and bike rides. And I think I've done like 10 miles of walking and an ungodly amount of bicycling. So
I would like to point out, you said that you weren't sure where the kids came up with this, where this came from. It could be that their mother is a beach body instructor and their father is a fitness freak. It could come from there. I'm not a doctor. I mean, the judge was very clear, but I'm
saying for 99.9% of their life, they've given two fucks about what we do in the morning. They actually come down, they'll come downstairs and cuddle up in a blanket and watch. And I just look at them with such disdain because I'm like, I want to be in that blanket. I want to be sleeping right now, but I'm not.
You don't want to have Sean T yelling at you.
Yeah.
Telling you that this shit is bananas.
But, we've hit the max, man. We've just completely sprungified our yard. Everything has been landscaped, pulled, plucked. It's almost like it's got a Brazilian wax. I began painting projects in the house. I'm painting baseboards, doorways, anything that I can hit with a brush, I'm doing. So, I've cleaned that. We've cleaned this place like 1,000 times. So we've given way to the 5-second rule. Now it's kind of a 6 to 7 day rule if it hits the floor.
So I got to be honest with you. Whatever's happening at your house, the polar opposite is happening here.
We're the spectrum here.
Yeah. Whatever the other end of the seesaw, the far end of the pendulum, whatever analogy you want to go with, that's where we are. The fucking wheels are off in the Flippo household. The wheels are off.
The inmates again running the asylum?
Oh, it's out of control right now. I woke up this morning at 9:45. I was the first person out of bed.
Wait, did you just say 9:45?
I said 9:45. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth.
I'm just telling you. I'm not bragging.
Kids were up closer to 11. You were telling me, we're like, hey, yeah, we're painting, Flip. We got this painted. I was painting. I'm like, painting? What are you, like Picasso painting or like Earl's painting?
That's right.
And you're like, oh, just baseboards, just some baseboard stuff.
Just
like,
baseboards.
Get the fuck out of here. None of this stuff is happening in my house. There's 0% chance. We have become full-blown alcoholics. And I'm not sure that I have cleaned a toilet since we went into quarantine.
Just dig a hole in the backyard and they just go there and you cover it up?
No, we have functioning toilets, but I haven't cleaned one is what I'm saying.
You changed the batteries. Oh, you just haven't cleaned them.
Just haven't cleaned them. And it is not bizarre that Ray would mention that we cleaned the bed because I have toilets that need batteries because my wife did a really, really stupid thing and we are stuck with toilets with batteries.
Those toilets are frustrating.
Oh, like, they're dumb. They're dumb.
Nothing makes you feel more stupid than a toilet that needs batteries when you're waving your hand over it and going, it's not flushing.
And it's terrible. If you go to somebody's house and you like, oh, number one, having to take a shit at somebody's house is horrible. You're like, oh, God, really? Right now, body? And you go in there and then you can't flush it because that person has a stupid sensor toilet. I mean, that's just wrong. You should never make your toilet confusing enough that your guests like are mortified that they've actually used your bathroom.
Yeah.
Bottom line, our wheels are off. So I'm impressed with everything you guys are saying. You and Jenny hitting, Aaron and I are doing Pio on the Beachbody thing, which is dancer based, and my wife's a dancer and I am not. So, it's really horrible because she's really good at this and I'm really not. And
isn't that like, seriously, man, like I, you know, some days I get to pick. And so I pick things that are less, cardiovascular and more kind of like use your weight as a tool. And those days I feel a little better about myself, but those days where she's like, let's do max cardio 30. I'm like, oh fuck, man. Anything with the word max and cardio in it, as a guy, you just know you're fucked because you don't have the endurance. I'll sit here and admit it. And my ex-wife is younger than me and her endurance level is way higher than mine. I'm sitting here at 48 and she's 35 and I'm like looking at her and she's just going. I'm like, oh my God, I want to fucking die right now. Can I lift something? Can I just move a rock, a boulder? Can I flip a tire? None of that in my future.
I've gotten sad enough that I try and remind my wife in a way that I think is subtle. Oh, you know, if we were at the gym, you know, you couldn't lift. I'm just saying.
I could bench two of you.
If we were lifting at the gym is all I'm saying. So embarrassing. Oh my God. Now you were saying something about getting one-on-one time with your kids, which I thought was really, really cool.
Yeah, man.
You guys are putting it in the calendar, yeah?
I read this article and it hit home. It really hit home. And I tried to make a point of this when we were living separately to get one-on-one time with each child, because at that point I felt like it was so important because, you know, you kind of lump them together and you think you're doing great and you're floating along under the radar and they're all kind of hanging out and having a good time. But then, you know, there's always one that you feel like is just not getting enough. And I felt like we needed to revisit this topic, especially now, because now that my work has been restricted and cut back and she is not working, I'm like, we have the time right now. So we need to like invest in this. And I think it is so important, especially now, to make it a point to just take time with each child and go for a walk, go to the store. Like Cameron and I went for a walk. Brady and I went for a bike ride. Noah and I went and did something else. And it's something to look forward to. And you have to make sure it's free time. I think if they're a little older, you let them structure it and make the and pick the thing, because I think it gives them more independence. But if they're younger, I think it's more important that you structure it and set it up so that they see that you're investing time in them. I think once they get a little older, they get it. So if you give them the reins, it's like, hey, what do you want to do? I don't know, Dad, let's go play basketball. Let's do Legos or this or this. I think it gives them a little bit of like a self-esteem boost, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. And then you're meeting them where they want to be.
Exactly. So,
and that really, that makes them comfortable. It gives them an opportunity to show you what they wanted to show you, because that's really what this is all about. I mean, they want to show you what they're into.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the deal. I mean, they don't just want to spend time with you. It's not like that. They also want to be able to, they want to be in a spot to like, hey, this is what I'm into. This is cool, right?
I'll tell you this, like my oldest son is a lot like me in his communication process, where you can tell something's wrong, but he doesn't want to voluntarily give it to you. And if you dig, he closes off even more. But these last couple of days on our walks, he's kind of started to like open up and drop these little like, Dad, I'm struggling with this, or Dad, da, da, da. I'm like, I look at him, I'm like, oh shit, don't make a big deal about this. Don't freak out. Don't get, you know me, I'm a fucking crier. Like I've these kids. So when he did that, it was like such a moment for me. And I'm sure you dads can relate, like where your son or your daughter actually finally goes, hey Dad. And you're like, oh fuck, I've been trying to do this for like 5 years. And now this is the moment where he's now asking me about something that's important to him. And that moment was like, okay, don't overreact. Don't freak out. Just be there and listen. And then when he's ready for you to give something, then give it. And that was really hard for me because I was like, oh, wait, fuck. He's actually responding this time, because I've asked the question 1,000 times and you get that general answer. It's good. I'm fine. No. Yeah. No. Next topic. And then you're on to like just general conversation. But when he actually engaged me and asked me for my opinion about something he's going through, floored.
I think the act of walking, for some reason, hiking, there's something about like a one-on-one hike. I think that opens up a lot of opportunity for conversation. And really, you know, that's the best part about all this. I mean, if there is an upside to this. Something about this that is that is good, it's that we're in a position now to spend more time with our kids than we ever spent with our dads. Mm. And just having that time. I mean, really, that time is, I mean, you know, you talk to somebody older And what would you do different? And no one ever says they would have spent more time at work. No one ever says they would have given more on the XYZ project, but they all say they would have spent more time with their kids, and they all say that they wish they had that time back. And we're given, in this weird, weird, fucked up way, we're given this opportunity to really spend this time with our kids. And I mean, it's a terrible, terrifying thing. And a lot of people have been sick, and a lot of people have died, and a lot of people have lost their jobs. And it's probably economically going to get worse before it gets better. But there is that. I mean, the kids are going to remember this as probably their favorite time growing up in their own
way. You could not have hit that more perfectly on the head. 100% right. No one ever goes back and says, I wish I had more time to spend on this project or this project. When I swear to God, everything we've ever watched, read, or heard about deathbeds, or like reflection on life, or like, what did I do with this? I wish I could have done this. It's all about more time with the loved ones and the loved ones we enjoyed. So now we've been given, you know, the word gift is not the right word.
Opportunity, maybe.
Opportunity. Yes, thank you. The opportunity to spend this time with your family and with your kids and your spouse.
I mean, game changer. It's something else.
Game changer. You never, this hasn't happened for 100 years, so we're not going to get this opportunity again.
That's the truth.
It may come back in the fall. Who knows?
You said about those one-on-one dates, and we do that all the time over here during normal time. And, you know, when you do a one-on-one date in a normal time, you take them out to sushi or something. You know, you give your kid a couple of beers. They feel adult. No, I'm kidding. But, you take them out to dinner and you have a little daddy.
It's Coors Light, so it's not really a lot of alcohol in. So
barely beer.
It's not really a beer.
But it's been a trip to, like, how do we do that in quarantine? But it does. It makes them feel important. It gives them an opportunity to have access to you. It's a neat thing. Like I said, it's an opportunity for us to really enjoy our kids and spend this time. And this time there's nothing you can buy that will get you time. There's no way to buy this time back. So let's take advantage of it.
And one more thing, I to just make sure that it's free time, you know, and free time means
it's
not sitting down, making them like do something with you. It's time where you just, like I said, or like you said, you take a walk, you play basketball, whatever it is. If they're older, let them pick it. You may not love doing it, but just indulge them. It's going to leave such an indelible imprint on that moment in their life to where they look back and they're going to be like, remember that time we walked and did the thing and we ended up here? And like, Noah and I got lost the other day in our neighborhood. He's like, I know the way, Dad. I'm like, all right, lead the way. So he's leading the way. And I knew we should have went left because I know the neighborhood. But he's like, no, it's this way. And I fought against every intuition to be like, hey, we're going left. It's this way. I just said, you know what? Fuck it, man. We're not on a time schedule. Not on a schedule. We're going to go right. And he's like, all right, we're going to go right. So we kept walking and we walked, and maybe about a half mile, he's like, Dad, I went the wrong way. I'm like, you know what? Who cares, buddy? Let's just explore. We'll figure it out. We probably walked an extra mile because we went the wrong way. But it was great. It was quality time. We ran into a friend of his from school. We saw a bunch of stuff, some things that I had to explain to him on the way home. the flag that I saw. I sent the picture of the flag.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Why is that flag? What's that flag? Well, that is another flag that I'll discuss with you. But it was an amazing time we spent. It was almost an hour and a half of just uninterrupted time, which I think is invaluable. So.
And I like the way you put it, because it's free. You're right. It's free time. Mm-hmm. There's nothing on the back end of it. You're not doing it for whatever school project. You're not doing it for whatever. It's completely free. And hey, whatever. Hey, let's do that. That's great. Let's talk about school a little bit, because I think the word has gotten out to our children that these grades probably don't count. So.
Well, the grades we're once again in different states. You're in California, I'm in Nevada. Right. So you knew a while ago. We just found out, I think it was a week and a half ago, that school, and we all knew it was coming, but the kids officially didn't know. School's canceled. So school's out for the spring and summer. And my kids, for about a week, were like, okay, well, this is cool. But then this week they're like, well, it doesn't really matter because our grades are the same. And I'm like, oh, hell no. This is not,
this is not how
it flies. You got packets. We're doing packets. You got Zoom meetings. You've got all kinds of stuff. Don't make me threaten you with violence to keep you on task.
Daddy loves you, but he will beat you.
I will beat you.
By us, there's a thing you can do. If I understand it right, that you could take a pass fail or you could take a grade. And so we're just like, you're taking grades and that's all there is to it.
Are the girls still getting graded on what they turn in?
Well, Violet's 4, so it doesn't count. And Sophia's 22. So we're going to go ahead and let that one go. But Lily's 12 and, seventh grade. And so Lily's a straight A student, always has been. She's one of those kids that you hated when you were a kid growing up, where you're like, did you study for that test? Like for like 10 minutes, but it was like, I got an A, it's great. You know, whatever. That's Lily. She does how her head works. And so, which is not how her father's head works. So, I mean, if she didn't look exactly like me, I'd be, definitely for mom. But so she's been, you know, running on this whole thing all throughout quarantine. Like, oh no, Dad, I've got straight A's. So last night I was like, you know what? Why don't we take a look? Take a look at what? Let's take a look at Infinite Campus. I haven't looked. And so she's like, oh, you want to see my straight A's? I was like, yeah, I want to see your straight A's. And so we popped it open and she had a D in dance and a D in history.
D in dance? That's what she does.
Right? Now, so here's the deal. Watching her face just drop and her stomach drop was obvious. She had no idea.
Wow.
And I guess that the deal is because there's so few assignments that if the teacher misses one that you turned in, the teacher didn't get, that maybe was in the folder that they didn't see, or something went to the wrong folder, whatever, that's your ass. Like, that's it. There's like four grades. Now you got a 0 on 1 of 4. So, so she had a full blown panic attack and it was pretty funny, but, I guess the dads don't take it for granted. They might have a missing useless assignment that is costing them.
I'm telling you right now, like I can relate to that because Brady is another one of those kids that ever since the inception of education, he's just cruised along like, oh yeah, I'm bored. A's, 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 A's. Not me. Must have got it from his mom because I was the one who struggled. I had to do it all the time just to get like B's and A's. But this year, because you know, as they get older, you know this because Lily's now in seventh grade and Brady's in fifth grade. They now start to levy more responsibility on you. So I would tell him, like, look, buddy, they're going to keep levying more responsibility on you. And I keep getting these little red cards on your homework, missing homework, no name, your binder key. Because he's in that gifted and talented or whatever it is called.
Gate program.
So they have to carry around a binder with them. So it's like screaming, I'm a nerd. All these little kids running around. These binders. It's a binder no one else carries. It's sad because it's like a red flag. But I opened this tracker key the other day, and literally like 15 pounds of shit fell out.
Uh-oh. I'm
like, this is the problem, kid. Like, you're not organized. And so I sat with him. I told him about being unorganized. And I told him, look, this is the issue. So if anyone else is struggling with this, which Brady is, and it sounds like Lily might be, it's just get him organized. Because he's doing the work. He's just not turning it in because there's so much shit in there that he doesn't need. He's not throwing it away. So I sifted through all the shit, put all the stuff he needs, got rid of the other stuff, and it was 100% better. And he took an upturn. But here, the grades that they ended with are the grades that they get. This is just all like fluff. And they figured out that it's just fluff because they figured that this kid, Washoe County said, like, you know, you're not qualified to teach him new curriculum. So this is where their grade is. So once again, he was lucky enough to end with all A's and B's. But man.
Well, I mean, it ultimately it's kind of insane to really to ask them to get grades on this stuff. Let's be real.
Right?
I mean, you imagine if your kid was applying to a college next year and they were like, well, whatever, I guess if you're
what happened here 2020, we have no recollection.
Oh, holy shit, man. So, I mean, it makes nothing but sense to me. And they're talking about July 7th, like having the kids go back in the middle of summer. I'm like, get the fuck out of here. That's not going to happen. Y'all are out of your minds. But it is definitely interesting to kind of like, you see it all the time. Way more respect for teachers than I ever had before. And I had mad respect for teachers. So, I mean,
mad
like,
respect. Well, you know, we have, yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like, now I bow down, man. Let me ask you a question. Now we keep getting all this stuff about, because speaking about the schools going back July 7th, are we really, I mean, they're talking about, hey, we're going to reopen the economy. Florida, who just had their 33,000th case, Ron DeSantis, old Commando Ron, comes out there and is talking about, no, we're going to go and open the state responsibly. And am I crazy? Are we doing this? What does this even feel like?
I think, you know, what's funny is like our governor just gave a speech and he just joined the Ring of Fire with California, Oregon, Washington, yeah. About slowly reintegrating ourselves back into like normal society. I put the emphasis on slowly because it's like, you know, we're crawling at a pace. And I think it's going to start happening because we are getting emails at my work about like 2 to 3 weeks opening at 50% capacity.
Right.
This and this and this. I think it's real. I think it's real because and I'm not really comfortable with the numbers that are coming out of those states that just said, hey, fuck it, let's open the beaches, because how much testing is happening down there, like with the Florida and Georgia's and Texas? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on down there personally, but, I just guess they just must not have seen the spike that they were expecting.
I think that's a big part of it. Yeah. I think they're not seeing the spike. And so,
hard as balls down there, I think.
Yeah. And there's the heat, and there's also I think that the smaller, not smaller, that the bigger, tighter cities, I mean, you really, you know, you're not going to have the spike in LA that happened in New York, even though the population's more out here. It's just too spread. There's no way. But
New York is an anomaly in itself. It's just built for a pandemic. I mean,
imagine
on top of each other on a little fucking island.
I mean, can you imagine
downplay this, but New York is just, you know, it's just a different animal.
Oh God. And it's its own thing. There's very little to compare it to. I mean, you would think Chicago would have something relatively similar, but I guess not. They didn't have the case.
Maybe, you know, think about the travel and the proximity to, you know, every country in Europe
that's true.
New York.
But Atlanta sees a tremendous amount of traffic too. I mean, Atlanta's Delta's hub, and you know, Hartfield is a huge airport. I mean, God, everywhere. I mean, if you're going to fly Delta from San Francisco to L.A., you're going to stop over in Atlanta. I don't know why, but I mean, like that's an incredibly busy international city too. And it's just not seeing the cases like New York did.
I think it also maybe comes down to how many, I mean, what are there, 3 airports in the city of New York?
Oh yeah.
There's maybe one or two. And I mean, just, I don't know. I just think the sheer volume alone in New York just said, hey, you know what? You're going to take this one. You're going to take it hard.
I'll tell you what's interesting about reopening, that I think is most, We own a couple of businesses, and it's a real trick to kind of look at this. And we belong to a couple of networks where, you know, other business owners are saying, a lot of the more red states, and there's a very clear political divide. It's very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the red states are saying, we want to open up tomorrow. And so we respond. We're like, well, do you want the financial liability for opening up your business? And
yeah, cricket.
Right? Because nobody's thought that far. But to me, shit, if the county says, okay, Mr. Sanfilippo, if your business reopens, these are the guidelines, 6 feet apart, masks, sanitation stations every X, Y, Z, you can only run at 25 or 50% capacity, blah, 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 blah. Right? If the county lays all that out and I do all that, does that mean I'm indemnified from being sued?
Yes.
I think that's the right term. But that's what we need. And, you know, Mitch McConnell and the Senate are talking about picking it up this week. But I think that's an important thing for them to pick up.
I think what they're doing is a lot of these like state and local places are taking these models from these gigantic corporations that stayed open through this.
Right.
I mean, like, I think Costco is one of the blueprints to where, like, you know, they've been doing these special measurements to now where they allow seniors in from 9 to 10. They open at 9 o'clock. They allow them in from 9 to 10, no more than a certain amount of people. If your membership allowed you to come in with your family before, they're not allowing you to come in with more than 2 people. Now it's 1 person per membership. No mask, no glove, no entrance. So I think a lot of these like measures that these big companies that were stayed open through the pandemic took I think a lot of it's trickling down now to like the smaller businesses, to like the restaurants. So like you need a mat, you need this, or else you're just, it's just not going to fly. So maybe that's the model that they're trying to look at and like implement. You think, I mean, well, do you think that?
Well, yeah. And I, you know, Costco, Walmart, Target, those are the companies I think everybody's looking to that, and you're 100% right. They've been open this whole time and they haven't had a huge spike in sick, employees. Yeah. So, I mean, that's the way to do it. Whatever they're doing, that's what everybody else has to do. And it's interesting because you can see how that all works with their model, but is that going to work with everything? It made me think the Las Vegas mayor got out there on AC360. And boy, did she say some crazy shit. But,
wow.
But one of the things that, and I think it's just a fundamental misunderstanding of the role of government. If Anderson Cooper is trying to get her to say, okay, well, what do you want the casinos to do?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's not my job. And he's like, you fucking is, you know?
And you basically just said you wanted to use your citizens as a fucking test group. And then back
unreal.
Oh my God.
And it's very funny because it was so specific to Anderson Cooper. I mean, he's Gloria Vanderbilt's son. I think old, rich, crazy white ladies, he's absolutely immune to them. I don't think Gloria Vanderbilt's not crazy. That's not fair. But I mean, eccentric. So he's 100% immune. So when she says insane shit, he's like, no, that's crazy.
But I blacked out to a family reunion.
You're no doubt, right? All of a sudden he's in Fort Lauderdale on the compound. if you've ever taken a water tour in Fort Lauderdale, they will show you the Vanderbilt scene. It's pretty spectacular. At any rate, I hope this all works out. Obviously, all I want is for government to come in and say, "Hey, here's what we're going to do. Here's the rules, and if you follow the rules, you're not going to get sued." Wouldn't that be nice? Let's talk about one more thing here that's important. You guys have had your stuff turned upside down a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm primarily a voice guy. So, I mean, like I'm used to being out of work. That's okay. You work twice in a week and you don't work for another 2 weeks and you work again. Yeah. That's just my life and that's fine. But you're a 9-to-5 kind of guy.
Yeah.
And it's been hit hard.
It got hit hard about a week and a half ago. It was already hit hard when my ex-wife's, company went down and she lost her job. Temporarily until they, unless they don't open ever again. I worked for a major corporation. I don't want to say the name, but they pretty much initially had guaranteed our salary until the end of this year, until the new year. And then 2 weeks after that, I think they saw the reality of what was really happening and the numbers just weren't matching what they promised. And so they came back and said, look, we're not letting you go, but we're cutting half of our management staff company-wide and shutting down 30 to 35 different locations. So I was one of those half because they just went by seniority and I'd only been there for less than 2 years. So they gave me two options. You can walk or you can take an hourly salary, which is about 75% less
of what I
was making. But the thing that made me stay was, you know, the benefits. I have to keep my kids covered in the benefits. I'm hoping that this is temporary, but it was a severe kick in the face. So everything was kind of turned upside down. Luckily, you know, I do have money saved. I have some things stored away. I got some other things on the side that I was, you know, doing. But if I didn't have that, then we would be in a really, really, really fickle situation. I am eligible to apply for unemployment, but, you know, as everyone else in this country knows, that the influx of people applying has been so high that I've been trying for 2 weeks via phone to call. And when I finally do get through, the offices usually close at 4 o'clock, and anywhere between 12 and 12:30, I'll call and get through. They'll tell me that the queue is full for the day at 12 o'clock. Bro. So it's a 4-hour wait just to get a human on the phone. And emailing has shown no results. Faxing, any of the things that, that you know, everyone's trying to do. It's just not proving any results. So it's tough, man.
It's a wild thing, right? Because, I mean, a lot of our statewide unemployment structures were not meant – number one, they're not meant to be easy because they're not there to encourage you to be unemployed. Mm-hmm. And number two, they're like some of them, like Florida, they were set up to fail, legitimately. Set up to fail. And I think Nevada probably falls somewhere in between. I mean, California, I live in a place where it's like, hey, Lou. And we're hosed. I mean, you can't get a hold of anybody EDD over here.
Interesting about the state of Nevada is if you really think about what its economy is based on, is on tourism. Like all they have is desert and casinos. So if you live in Reno and you live in Las Vegas, you're fucked because every casino and every resort and everything is shut down. So there's no incoming tourists. There's no incoming. The casinos are done. So there's no one coming here to gamble. So everything's been shut down. And I'm surprised that it lasted as long as it did. And I kind of saw the writing on the wall when we started seeing the returns and the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And so when that phone call came, I wasn't shocked, but I was kind of shocked. But then explaining it to your kids, like, why is daddy home so much?
Now, how's that worked out? Because, I mean, like, you know, my youngest is 4. She wouldn't notice that there was extra time at home. But your boys are old enough to have picked up on it, obviously.
Well, they knew my schedule was kind of it fluctuates because of what I do. I can go into work from 7 in the morning and go in at 10. I can go to 12 or 2. But now that I've been home so much, the only one who's kind of really questioned it was Brady, my oldest, who's 11. Cameron, he's just happy that daddy's home more.
Right, yeah.
No, it's indifferent. That kid just operates on his own channel.
On his own frequency.
But I just told Brady the truth. And I said, you know, it's not forever. It's kind of like what you do when they ask questions about what's happening with the coronavirus. So like if your children are asking questions and you don't really have the answers, I feel personally it's okay to not have answers. Just go find the answers, because in life, you're not always going to have the answers. And to bullshit your kids, I think it's just not doing them service. I think to be like, hey, you know what? I don't know. Let's find out together. And I think that gives them an assurance that, you know, this guy doesn't know it all. He's not going to sit here and bullshit me. I just tell him the truth. Like it's unknown. I have a job. I'm still bringing income in. It's just not as much as I'm used to. And, it's not forever.
You know, and not for nothing. If you're bullshitting, they're going to figure you out. They're going to smell it.
Yeah.
They can tell. And it's not like it was, you know, when we were kids, you know, if somebody fed you some bullshit, you had to go to the library and look it up to prove they're wrong. Yeah. Didn't take long now. Oh, what was that, Dad? Bleep, blah, 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 blah.
Type it anymore. Shit. We learned that quick. You don't even need to type it. They can just talk it in. Yeah.
Hey, Siri, is my dad full of shit? Yes, your dad's full of shit.
Siri, Alexa, yes, your dad's full of shit. You got both of them telling him.
Man. Well, good for you, man. It's not easy. But I'll tell you what, as disappointed as I've always been with this administration in a lot of ways, I've been impressed with the way that they have eventually turned around and started handling this. I mean, they've really put they've made a lot of money available to the big money lenders, and that's given a lot of people that have mortgages a lot of latitude and a lot of room to move, and hopefully it'll end up being enough. Knock on wood. Knock on wood, Jesus. I do want to talk about one last thing, unexpected positives, because I do think there are some. And
so many, I believe.
And I'll tell you the one for me, my marriage is dramatically better than it was just a few weeks ago. And
they had to put you in a petri dish and study you because the numbers suggest that you're full of shit.
I'm telling you the truth. We, you know what it is? We take these hikes every day. I told you we're going to buy that Subaru Outback eventually.
Yeah. With all the keys. We just hang the keys in the lanyard.
Right. We're gonna find a janitor somewhere, man, at a school. Hey, bro, can I just borrow those keys? Is that cool? Can I? But so we're doing these hikes every day, and like every day.
Yeah.
And we've tried taking the kids and taking the dogs, and fuck that, it's a pain in the ass. And the kids are complaining the whole time, and our dogs are shitty little dogs, and they try to attack everyone. So fuck it. So it's just Aaron and I, and we are communicating better than we've communicated in years. And I think it's been really, really neat. And I didn't know we weren't communicating all that well. We were just doing the do, you know, and you know, doing our normal deal. And this is, you know, we're getting through and taking care of business. And I'll tell you what, every day we have an hour and a half where it's just the two of us. And we really, we're walking and talking. and I have never felt closer to my wife, and it's been really neat.
You know, it's funny. It's not really funny. You said a word in there. It was a couple words that really popped. It's like you didn't even notice. Like when you, because I know you guys, I've known you so long. You guys are so busy.
Oh yeah.
Your day is so jam packed that you don't notice that you're not communicating, that you don't you're not like giving that independent time for Aaron or for your spouse that you're like, you know, that to make them feel important. And now that everything's just kind of been stripped away.
Oh yeah.
And now you're looking at each other and you're taking these walks and you're like, wait a minute. You take that deep breath and you have those moments to where like, wait, I actually really fucking enjoy your company. It's kind of fucking refreshing and lack of a better word, it's kind of beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And it's I also think that there's a dynamic that's really, it's kind of specific now because it won't last. No. I don't mean it like that. But I mean the specificity of the dynamic is you're quarantined, you're self isolating, whatever you want to call it, with your family, and so everybody else is out here. Everybody else is other. Even if they're friends, they're still over here. And so when you're on a walk, when you're on a hike, whatever, if you run into a friend or a neighbor, you can't go up and give them a hug. You can't start a long conversation with them. You can say hi for a minute. You can talk for a second, but you can't. So you're still in this bubble. And that reinforces that dynamic that it's that you're this unit and these other folks are over here. And in its own way, that kind of becomes it reinforces that deal with that. It's neat. I enjoy it.
So true. You just took the word. You know, like what you try to instill in your kids and in like your unit of like family first. This, all of this is reinforcing those philosophies that you're trying to instill in your kids because they're like they're so busy with their friends and all this stuff, and now it's all been stripped away.
Stripped away, man.
And now you're like, it's always been us. And here we are again. Now I'm proving to you that it's always been us. It's family. And now my kids have like, honestly, they have never been more like open and involved to doing things that I enjoy in their life. Like
that's awesome,
bike
man.
Rides. I couldn't drag these kids on bike rides 3 weeks ago. And now and it's now like, they'll go. Wake up and I swear to God. Okay. So this is what happened this morning. I woke up, had a cup of coffee. Sean T kicked my ass for a while. And then just after I'm done, I'm like dying. It's like 7 in the morning. Cam's like, Daddy, time for a walk. And I looked at Jenny and she's like, fuck you. I'm not going. I'm like, yeah, buddy, let's go. And this kid leads me on this fucking journey to find Jesus. I was like walking for 40 days. I'm like, where are we going? He's like, we're going for a walk. And 3 miles later, we end up back at home. And then again, this afternoon, he's like, let's go for a walk. And I'm like, dead. I'm like, sure, let's go.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
This is the time I have. My legs, everything was hurting. But I'm like, you know what? This kid wants to do it. I'm not going to disappoint him. So I'm going to drag my ass, kicking and screaming inside, and we're going to do this. And so we did it. So you're right. The unexpected positives are endless.
They're huge, and they're there. And if you're struggling right now, if you're having a tough time staying positive, and God knows I am, and some of us are, I just take a look at that. Take a look at those unexpected positives that are in your life, because I guarantee you, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, your kids are going to tell you at some Christmas somewhere how this was their most favorite time of their childhood.
Yeah.
All right. Top five. And
One more thing.
Tell me.
And if you don't have it in you, and like, and if you're just dead and you're just not in the space for it, ask your spouse to do it, because you just, I honestly could not disappoint, because I did that walk with Cameron, had dinner. And then Noah came to me. He's like, Daddy, I want to do the walk we did last night. Last night walk was like 2.5 miles. So in my head, I'm like doing the math. I'm like, that's like almost 11 miles of walking in a day and a half. I can't do it. And I looked at Jenny. She goes, I got it. And I was like, you're a fucking godsend. Because that Noah would have died. I would have had like a wheelchair or something. But ask your spouse. Ask, you need to find a way to get that task done, to get them out of the house, to do the unexpected positive.
Take the time.
Take the time.
All right. Top five TV shows that you could dive into and that you could binge right now. Raymond, yes. Lead off. Okay. We're gonna do this quick.
These were shows that are still on the air or that had just ended. I'm not talking Seinfeld or Cheers to go back into the archives. I think that's another episode. So for me, my number one show, and I love this show. The show is so near and dear to me. It's kind of like a chip off the old detective kind of serial things. It's Bosch. Season 6 just came out. You can binge watch these while you're at home. I believe it's a Prime Video. It's got Titus Williger in it. It's an LA crime story thing. It's well done. It's beautifully shot. The writing, the acting, it's amazing. Bosch. Number two, this guy can never do wrong for me. Jason Bateman, Ozark season 3 just came out. Maybe this is why I'm like back into these two shows because their seasons just came out. But Ozark, another great show. I don't want to give anything away about it because everything that pops up on, do you watch the show?
Yes. It's terrific.
There's always these reveals that you're like, oh fuck. So if I start telling you stuff.
Yeah. I'll
blow it for you. A big surprise for me. This one is, and these are in no discernible order because I feel like I'm, some of these shows are better than others, but Fleabag.
Oh, God. So good.
What Jinx. A great fucking show. This woman has like a main line into the male head. And it's the male anatomy. Unbelievable, right?
I've never seen a show where I've just been like, oh my God, you saved me a fortune in therapy because you absolutely you understand the male ego so completely. Phoebe Waller is just, I mean, she gets holy shit. I mean, like anyway.
Right?
Oh, I just bow down to Fleabag. It's unbelievable.
Two seasons of that, right?
Two or three.
We get season 3 coming.
I'll look it up.
It's great. Anyway, a great show.
Game of Thrones.
And then my next one. I'm ashamed to say that I've watched the show from beginning to end 3 times.
And now really?
Probably. Oh yeah. Obsessed. And every time I watch it, this is the interesting thing about this show. Every time I watch it, I find out a character that I didn't like before or couldn't stand before. I understand them now. And I'm like, oh, wait, fuck. I love this character. Like I finally get what they were going through. Right. And I finally understand why they were the way they are. And it's Game of Thrones. They may have shit the bed on the last couple episodes of the season, but I can forgive them. I didn't think it was a terrible ending. But honestly, one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, all right. And then what's your last one?
My last one is Mindhunters, and I don't think a lot of people know about this show.
That. What is that?
It's 2 seasons, and they just got picked up for 3rd season. Basically, it's based on real. It's all true crime. So in the 60s, I think it was the 60s, the FBI decided they wanted to create a division of that investigated people that were killing people in an unorthodox fashion. They didn't have the term serial killer at the time. They called them, God, I can't remember what it's called. But they were investigating basically what became to be known as serial killers. And so there was a division created that went into like science of the study of murder, the study of like forensics, the study of all kinds of psychological killings, like why these people were doing it instead of just saying like, hey, they're fucking crazy and dismissing them.
Right.
They study the whys of they were doing it. And so all of these cases that were prevalent at the time, which I can't remember at the time, the names of these serial killers, but they go to prisons and they would interview them. And all of this stuff is on tape. And it all happened. All these cases are real. So the show is based on real history.
These are real crime interviews of like, real crime interviews, yes. Like real crime, real murders.
And this show was referred to me and it took me a couple months to get to it. But it's a must watch. It's
all right. I'll check that out.
Amazing.
Bosch and Mindhunter. I've never tucked that out. I'm gonna check both those out. My list: Game of Thrones overlap. Gonna have to 100%. Got to hit Game of Thrones if you got the time. Number 2 for me is Parks and Recs because, God damn it, it's fucking brilliant. It's so hilarious, and when they're hitting on all cylinders, it's impossible to beat.
How many seasons of that?
I don't know. I have no idea. 6, 5, 6, 7. A lot. Yeah. And
I need to go back and rewatch that because there's so many, and it's one of those shows where there's so many people in that ensemble that came out of it, like Chris Pratt. I mean, what's his name? Ansari.
What's that now? Oh, Aziz. Yeah.
Aziz Ansari. All these people like came out of it that you're like, in like five years, you're going to be like, wait, that guy. Oh, all these people came out of that show that are just massive.
And if you happen to enjoy indulging a little bit, it hits you just right, depending on what it is you're indulging. Fleabag. I'm going to double down on Fleabag.
Yeah.
Seasons. Phoebe, unbelievable. So goddamn brilliant. An incredible understanding of the male ego. And
relationships in general. How the inner workings and just...
And guilt and why we do things sometimes that make no sense.
Yes.
And if you can get past the dude that she meets on the bus with the fucked up teeth, you can get past the fucked up teeth, you're in. It's so bad. Like, I had to stop watching it for like a solid 2 weeks.
He is so disturbing. But that show is brilliant.
So brilliant. And then number four for me, I'm going to double down on the Brits, The Crown. If you have not checked out The Crown, their choices in storytelling are just unbelievable. They're perfect. That show's unreal. They make choices on that show with the way they tell the story that are just genius. And number five, I'll leave you guys with The Imagineering Story. It's on Disney Plus. It is a 6-part series about how they imagineered, how they built all the Disney parks and the different iterations of the Imagineers. Started with Walter Elias Disney with WED Imagineering. WED with WED. WED eventually becomes Imagineers. And it really breaks down what happens when the focus from Walt shifted, when Walt passed away. And it really is an incredible story. And it's told beautifully. And you guys should check that out.
Let's back the card up a little bit. So The Crown, does that still have episodes? Is that like still an active show?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I've never heard of it.
I think season three or four. But
what's that on? What's that on?
That's on Netflix.
Okay. And the Imagineering, you said, is on Disney Plus?
On Disney Plus.
Those two are really fascinating. I think for all the dads out there who are trying to like find something, because I know we've probably ran through all the Marvel movies, all the Star Wars movies, all the Toy Stories for the stuff that you're looking for, something fresh. That sounds like pretty fascinating because God knows I've watched Aladdin 3 times.
Yeah. Well, the Imagineering Story is so great because it's number one, you're looking at the theme parks being built, right? So the kids are kind of in, but you're seeing it as an adult and you're like, holy shit, the wherewithal to see this and then to make it happen. And then it's unbelievable. But at any rate, those are our top five. We will check back with you guys next week. Hopefully we'll have better. We had some good news. We're enjoying our children, our families, but we should be grateful.
Yes. Good news. I mean, I know there's a lot of like doom and gloom out there right now, but also with that, you get all this time to be with your kids. You know, thankfully there's not a lot of places open to go blow your money and they're not asking you to go spend all their money in your video games. But, you know, just enjoy the time, because I'm telling you right now, when things go back to normal, we're going to acclimate back to normal.
You better believe it.
And everyone's saying they're going to become these new people and we're going to have this new philosophy and this new way of living. But as humans, I know we're going to acclimate and we're going to return to normal really quickly.
Right.
And things are going to become so much more important than the quality time. So enjoy it while you have it.
It was a pleasure, you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for joining again on the Dad Survival Guide podcast.
Okay, safe.